Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Good evening and welcome to the July 11th, 2007 Board of Directors meeting for the Oceana Community Services District. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Mann.
Here.
Would you please join us in the flag salute? Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That brings us to item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on any item that's not on the agenda. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean Maldonado, resident of Oceano. Moved here about a year ago. And we have a problem with, we have all kinds of signs, especially coming into our city and out of our city, that there's no overnight camping permitted on any streets. And we have motorhomes, like, living all around the park, up and down Monroe Street, North Swing Pier, and all they do is play musical motorhomes. Some of them have tweakers
into the Sheriff's Department and the Highway Patrol. The Sheriff's Department deals with law, like criminal law enforcement, and the Highway Patrol is the vehicle enforcement.
So I need to go to them?
They're the ones that have the authority probably to take care of that, yes.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none, brings us to item number four, board member items for discussion. I'll start out by congratulating Director Mann for nearly unanimous selection, re-election to the LAFCO board as a special district representative. Congratulations, Barbara.
Thank you very much.
And Vern, do you have anything?
I have nothing at this time.
Barbara?
Nothing.
Okay.
Pamela?
Nothing.
Bill?
I'll second your congratulations to Barbara.
Brings us to item number five, review and approval of the minutes. We have three tonight, June 12, 2007, June 27th, and June 29th. Is there any comment or questions from the board? Any comment or questions on the minutes from the public? Okay, hearing none. I think we can probably move to approve these in bank.
Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye. Or, no, not opposed. I'm sorry. Did we go to public comment?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I missed that. Okay. Thank you.
Quite all right. It sounds like it passes unanimously.
Yes. Just a little slow on the yes side.
No problem. Item number six, reports. We have Commander Martin Basti from the Sheriff's Department. Commander, welcome.
Good evening, Mr. President, board members, staff, members of the public, Martin Basti, Sheriff's Department. I trust the last couple of meetings that you were well taken care of by the sergeant. It seems like more and more we have more and more commitments to spread our time thin this year, and that means that either side of the weekends weren't too bad, and the 4th of July we did have quite a few illegal fireworks calls, but we didn't have any reported injuries or any disasters as a result of those, and they're kind of hard to chase because once they go off and explode, there's not much left. But we did seize about a half a truckload throughout the South County, and those were taken up for disposal. A couple of important burglaries. We had one down on Pier Avenue at a business, and with the assistance of a citizen and the state parks, the deputies were able to catch the individual inside the place, and he went to jail. And then last weekend, we had an alert citizen report some suspicious activity over off of Paso Robles Street, which resulted in the arrest of two juveniles for going through several cars, and we got about $1,000 worth of property back. Yesterday, we caught a vandalist spray painting one of the fences in the alleyway, so caught him with the paint, and so he was turned over to the parent and incited into court. And if you want, I'll address the parking issue with your, okay. We are doing what we can. The area at Railroad and Beach Street is actually part Caltrans right-of-way, and the other is Railroad right-of-way. So we're working with both of those folks, at least put in a request if they don't, if they can put a no parking from 2 to 6 a.m. That means you can't have the 24-hour parking. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, typically our calls for service habitually decline and gives us a little more time to go through and cite those cars that are left there, which means they have to keep moving. They're not there for weeks at a time. But being on the property, it has to be county ordinance and then adopted and then posted. As far as the no camping, it's no camping between dark and sunrise, which right now with daylight savings time is around 9 o'clock till about 5 o'clock in the morning. Those are routinely checked as we have time between saving lives and property based upon our staff. We go by and knock on a door and nobody answers. Typically, we're finding the ones we did cite, they all gather their money together and they take one motorhome and go to the county park and buy a space. So they all congregate because they're allowed 8 in a space and they leave the motorhome empty. Yes, most of those are not in real good repair, so that's why they leak and you smell the odors from the holding tanks. Those that are leaking get cited, but during the daytime, there is no regulations requiring them to move or do anything else other than use those facilities and use them to do as knock and try to keep them moving. And they are becoming very aware. Those that got cited know what the rules are, and so they kind of skirt the rules and kind of move around. But we do actively contact them between our calls, et cetera. So that's the best that we can do unless they change the ordinance or do no parking of large vehicles. That was successful along Highway 1, where we put no parking for vehicles over 6 feet. So that eliminated most of the high-profile vehicles, which those were included in. So that helped with that situation. Maybe that's another option that could be done along the park areas. But I would suggest the board work with the county to get the ordinances changed to give us the tools and authority to try and help alleviate the problems. And I encourage you, if you do see some suspicious activities, I got some information tonight on some suspicious activities going on around there, is you need to call. Because between all our calls, that's how we get responses. So it's important to call. If we get there and they're not there, we're already gone. But the chances are that, you know, it puts a car in the area, and the more likelihood we'll catch some of these things that are going on and keep the neighborhood safe and things from, you know, missing from the front yards, et cetera. So you have to call, because calls for service is what generates us being in the area where we need to be. So it's helpful to call. Don't, you know, they're non-emergency calls. Call in and say you need a patrol check, because your suspicious activity is more important than just saying, well, it's not that important. The alert citizens that are reporting this stuff to us, I can't say enough of how beneficial, because it gives us the opportunity to catch those that are doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay, so encourage the folks to call us.
Very good, and it sounds like we've had some of the alert citizens help out and there, make yep. those reports. I know that I don't have it right in front of me, but I know the sheriff's non-emergency number is in the front of the phone book.
It's a 781-4550. That's the non-emergency.
781-4550, that's the sheriff's non-emergency number.
So right, 24 hours, it's answered in priority, and then, of course, if it's an emergency, dial 911.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any questions or...
Any questions or comment from the board?
Thank you for coming.
Yes, comment or questions from the public?
Thank you.
Sounds like Arnie's got a comment.
Commander Basti, I've got a kind of a hot button one that came up this afternoon. There were some people are fairly upset about it's a narrow alley alleyway. It's not even wide enough for vehicles running between 15th Street and whatever is east of there, just off of Paso Robles. And the street over is that it ends. It ends in a cul-de-sac. And there's some fences there, and it's pretty well protected from view. And it's pretty well used for not the best of habits.
Okay, is it between?
I think that's just north of Paso Robles.
Yeah, it's just north of Paso Robles.
So one up from Paso. Mm-hmm. So
it's not wide enough for a vehicle, but there are utility poles down through there.
Okay. We can have that checked. Also encourage those folks when they do call in or whatever, is to call us if they see anybody back there or to report those things. Let's get them taken care of ahead of time.
I don't think they normally see them. They see the evidence.
Okay. But even if they see evidence like that, encourage them to give us a holler. Because we do check the log, and that's what, like I said, is those calls for service. And that helps us when we do the briefings in the afternoons or evenings as to where we need to deploy, where there's problems and issues. So if we don't hear about it, and they're not often, you know, walking through those. But we'll have that checked out.
Thank you.
You betcha.
Thank you very much.
You betcha. Have a great evening.
And I'll let the people that call me know you're going to do that.
Yes.
Okay, item 6B is report of the district department heads. We have those in the written form. Any highlights that you want to pass on to us?
Gina?
As far as...
Your turn. Your report.
A quick summary or any highlights?
Oh, okay. Well, we did our annual notice to consumers for the water department, and that 3,500 of those that get done in the last 2 weeks of June. That report gives all the things that are included in the water that people want to know about. Does it have fluoride? Does it have iron? All that good stuff. We did our regular agendas. We've done our late notices. We mailed out 437 late notices on June 21st, and today we shut off 13 services that still had not paid. We finished up the budget work until we have our workshops, and we did the... excuse me, you really caught me flat-footed.
That's a big job is the budget. Thanks,
yeah, I think of so much of the regular routine at the end of the year going on right now. The weed abatement project will continue for another good month, and then we'll see what happens with the budget workshop.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for all the good work there. Phil, any highlights in the water department?
Just
what's that?
Down here, we did have a lot of trouble with the lift station going on, more than usual. And we had two minor leaks. Phil, he's on. And we caught a bunch of maintenance jobs. The crew was able to do an extra. We're coming to the exercise program, and it's nice to do that when you're not under pressure to have to shut off real quick. And I worked with some of the reports that Gina mentioned about the annual water quality report, and we went a little less part of this year than we did the same month last year.
Just out of my own curiosity, do you know if the park department, state parks, ever installed that sand trap on Pier Avenue they were talking about doing?
I don't think it hasn't been installed.
Not yet. Still waiting.
It has been ordered, is what I understand, and they're talking about installing it. So that's major progress.
Yeah, I guess it is. Even talking about it, I guess, is major progress. Okay, and I welcome Doug Hamp, our fire chief. Doug?
Thank you very much. And I will probably readdress some of the comments that are in the staff report, but I'll do it for the sake of the community and those in the audience, if you don't mind. And during the month of June, the department responded to 65 calls. 31 were in Oceano, 10 were in Grover Beach, 9 were in Arroyo Grande, and 10 were with the CAL FIRE, plus 5 calls on the beach. Of the 31 calls in Oceano, 23 were medical, and 1 was fire-related, and 7 were other types of public services situations. So we're about 420 calls for the same time in 2006, and that total was 376, so we're up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And as your interim fire chief, my personal knowledge prior to my participation is quite considerations, discoveries to consider, and we can take a look at that. And I'll bring you the good and the bad so that you'll know, you'll have the ability to make good decisions or want to be get involved one way or another. So my goal is to spend my limited amount of time in a value and productive way. So I've met with the department members, met with the fire committee, and had a very good meeting, and the office staff, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you. And they're just a bunch of nice folks, and so I'm looking forward to this visit.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Any comment from questions from the board members? Comment or questions from the public on the department reports? Okay, hearing none. Receive and file, please. Brings us to item number 7, weed abatement, a public protest hearing. The board will receive public comment on the weed abatement program and charges.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. I'm going to recuse myself on this issue. I've recently entered a short-term business arrangement with one of the people on it.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. President Hill, what you have before you is a report concerning the proposed charges on abatements. The notices were sent out some months ago in terms of the proposed abatements for the properties. The work was done before and after photographs were taken. As a general rule, we missed a couple of the before photographs. Based on my phone this week, I would have assumed we would have had a standing room only audience tonight. We had a number of people calling in concerned. They ranged everything from a gentleman who had the property in escrow and knew he wouldn't have to pay it to, whoops, it fell out, and he now has to pay it, and it was a rather sizable one. We also had a number of people that protested based on the fact that they didn't think the amount of work was worth what they were paying for it. So we did have 2 letters that we received. That we abated was not all his, maybe not any his, but that it was property that was part road property and part something else. And so he's protesting. What your staff would recommend that you do is you go ahead and conduct the protest from anybody in the audience, which I don't see too many, and then direct staff to work with these people who have filed a formal protest and work out the details of whether the bill is right or not. What we'd recommend you do is to go ahead and order the assessments as appropriate with these few, subject to determination by staff as to whether they should be reduced or go ahead and be placed in full charge. And Chief Hamp and myself and other fire personnel will work out the details of that. All in all, we have a number of properties that were abated. The work was done, and we need to recoup those costs as a charge against the property of the people in question.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Let me then ask at this time, is there anyone in the audience that would like to comment on this or have a protest? I'll ask 3 times. Is there anyone in the audience that has a protest on the weed abatement? Is there anyone in the audience that has a protest on the weed abatement? Okay, hearing none. We'll bring it back to the board then. And any comment or questions from the board?
Did I understand right that the three, the gentleman that doesn't live here and Povey, we would pull those separate?
Those are the only two that we presently have a question on. The okay. gentleman was very upset that claimed the property had been in escrow, but I think he realized after all was said and done that it really was his responsibility. He was he kept telling me that my new customer service philosophy meant I should forget his bill. That sort of upset me, and I'm afraid our conversation didn't end exactly friendly. But I was customer service oriented and said it with a smile.
Thank you.
Very good.
The unfortunate thing is that if the weed abatement isn't taken care of by the property owner at minimal expense, it has to be taken.
Attorney, when you say recuse, I need to recuse myself on the one.
Of the Povey one.
Okay, so I will recuse myself of the Povey okay. Railroad.
I'll reflect that. Just a suggestion.
Yeah. Second.
If you're going to recuse yourself, how can you second it?
I'm recusing on that, but I'm...
Oh.
Well, no, you didn't say so moved on... I can't do that.
No, I would suggest that you recuse yourself from voting at all.
Seconded.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded then. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Passes unanimously then with two recused.
That will work. Probably a small item, but just don't want to mix it up.
Let's don't go there.
No.
Okay, seeing that we have our auditor in the audience.
Moment, please.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate that.
It burns faster than you are, Alex.
With the board's concurrence, let's move to item 9A, which is the audit report for fiscal year ended June 30th, 2006. And we have Bob Crosby here from Crosby and Sindrich, who are our auditors. Bob, welcome.
It's good to be here. You guys aced out another one of my clients tonight, but... You guys were first and they were second, so had a little conflict of scheduling. But I'd rather be here anyway. I trust everybody had a chance to look at the financial statements. I should see a big smile on Barbara's face. Barbara's been after me for years to get these things in a situation where we can show comparative totals. And with the new GASB 34 rules, there weren't a lot of models out there that had comparatives. But because of her insistence, last year I went and did a complete nationwide search for anybody that's doing comparative financial statements in this manner. And I found some, actually I found two nationwide. So I find it. Instead of picking up two financial statements and thumbing through both, the numbers are all right there. So, other than that, the financial statements are pretty much the same as last year's. We provided the required schedules, and then we had three additional schedules in the back. And I always want to remind the board that if there's any other analysis that you want to include in the financial statements, I'm always open to putting additional schedules in the back. It's pretty much set as far as what I do up through the footnotes, but anything after the footnotes and the financial statements is basically up to management. This year we got a little bit of a late start, and then because of the late start, it went into my tax season. I have a pretty big tax base, or tax client base, and so as a result we were able to do this until after tax season, and then I guess we're a little late with the meeting in that I had a vacation and then we had a death in the family, so I had to take care of some administrative type items. So here I am tonight, so about a year late. So
6 months at least.
I would suggest, though, that since everything is fresh in the staff's mind as to what's required for the audit, that they get busy on it this year, taking care of the schedules that are required for the audit. And also a lot of the journal entries are fresh in their mind, so we could cut back on the journal entries that we had to do last year for this year if a lot of this work is done before we get there. Thus, we can reduce the fees, and I think everybody likes reduced fees. The financial statements, the page 3 is the auditor's report, and essentially we gave this a clean opinion. However, we had one disclaimer in that with the new GASB 34 rules, there's a supplemental schedule which would involve a management analysis and discussion. And that wasn't done. A lot of my smaller clients don't do these. I'm all for it. A couple of my clients do it. Like I said, the smaller ones don't bother because they figure it's a waste of time. But it's something to think about. Thus, it would eliminate that little paragraph that would be considered a disclaimer. So, other than that, I gave it a clean opinion. Page 4 and page 5 are the new statements, again, from GASB 34. We've only had this a couple of years now. And then again, we've got the comparisons here. But what this does, it instead of putting the district's numbers in two separate places, governmental funds versus the proprietary funds, which are the enterprise funds, which would be water and sewer, and you have trash or refuse. In the old model, it used to be put in two places. The new model, which we have here, includes everything into one balance sheet and one income statement. Of course, they don't call it that. It's kind of a combination of a for-profit or a non-profit, so the name for the balance sheet would be Statement of Net Assets, and the income statement is the Statement of Activities. So you're still going to see those separations, but because of the new rules, we're required to report everything on the same type of accounting. Accrual accounting versus the old rules were modified accrual and accrual. That's why we didn't combine them in the old days. So I don't know if you had a chance to look at these. Page 4, if you look at that, also don't tell me that I forgot the last line here, because that's the way we're supposed to present this. Normally in a balance sheet, we'll present it with assets and then the other half would be liabilities and net assets, which would total the assets, thus making it a balance sheet. In this model, for some reason, the powers that be decided to leave the total figure off the bottom of the statement. So hopefully, though, the two lines that I have for liabilities and net assets agree to the assets. But if you look at this, your financial picture looks pretty healthy as far as a district is concerned. Your assets far outweigh, structure is crumbling under their feet. So with the new rules, it's important that government entities like this district do an analysis on their infrastructure and forecasting future repairs and maintenance for their infrastructure, thus not getting into that situation. So it's kind of like going along with the management analysis and discussion as to what is required. Any questions concerning page 4?
Would that analysis of the infrastructure be part of the management analysis and discussion, or would it be presented there?
It could be presented there. It's primarily something that the district should be doing ongoing. Part of this was a lot of the smaller government units didn't even know what kind of fixed assets they had. In fact, I had one district that we just did a disclaimer because they never got around to doing the fixed asset analysis. They had no idea where those numbers came from because it's over a period of 30 years and the numbers were lost. So because of the new rules, each government entity was entitled to do a one-time adjustment, and if they didn't know the number, they were expected to come up with a sophisticated guess as to what they should be, which is kind of interesting, but at least to put the number on the financial statements. And with that, there were some other rules that required thresholds for the infrastructure. Now the threshold for recording infrastructure on your financial statements, a minimum of $100,000. For equipment, small items like that, it's a minimum of $5,000. So these things have changed. We've gone through the fixed assets and pretty much we've been doing this over a period of time, getting ready for these rules. So you guys are in pretty good shape as far as identifying the fixed assets and recording the depreciation now. You have a question?
Please.
Water master plan that we have that is used as a tool for picking capital improvement projects for the next year that's broken out by segment. Is that the type of thing?
That's the type of thing.
Okay.
Essentially just doing some sort of management analysis and discussion section is an excellent place to indicate what the district's doing as far as making these forecasts.
Question? The one-time adjustment, is that one time for all the assets in one particular year, or is it a one time for each asset regardless of what year they fall in?
It's supposed to be a one-time adjustment for all the assets in the governmental entity. I did have one district this year that they had a little bit of an oops, so we added extra things that came to our attention later after the audit was done.
Okay.
So I don't think that that's a problem. It's essentially we're trying to get it more accurate. So if we're trying to get it more accurate, the only problem would be maybe to go back and restate that. But yeah. I didn't see that. There's been a good this district's had a good handle on keeping track of their fixed assets.
Yeah.
So,
in my opinion, this is probably one of the best things government has done, is going to this type of an accounting.
I think so.
It gives you a picture of what's happening.
Because the old model, it was hard for, you had to have some kind of understanding as to how to read a governmental financial statement. In fact, people that were well-versed in reading a financial statement from a normal business had troubles reading it. So I see some CPAs having a hard time reading these things. So it takes a weird breed, but it's all this governmental background. I have to blame it on the U.S. Navy. They made me do this. The page 5 is kind of an interesting way to present an income statement or a statement of activities, but if you look at it and study it, the statement reads kind of like this and then down. So it kind of explains everything on the left as to what's part of the district. It reads across the page, and then there's general type items that we put down below. And then at the bottom, it ties the net assets out with the page 4, which is your statement of net assets. Again, we did a summary column. Again, it doesn't break it out. It's on, look very similar to the old model. However, there's some eliminations that were done. the general fixed asset account group is no longer presented on page 6, and the general, I don't remember what they called it now, the long-term debt account group also is not included on page 6 anymore, primarily because they're all encompassed in state on the page 4, which actually shows a little more detail, because now the government funds are required to be depreciated, whereas in the past, any depreciable item that was purchased by a governmental fund, like a fire department, would be expensed in the year that you bought it. So, for instance, a fire truck, if you bought it in that year, would be expensed in that year. So you see the differences between the old model and the new model. Now we put it in, and it shows the fixed asset and the depreciable life. It shows that it accumulated depreciation, so that it depreciates over the useful life of the asset. As a result, you'll see on page 6, after page 6, there's a reconciliation between the two statements. I'm just giving you kind of an idea how to read these things. When you look at them and you have a puzzled, you know, have questions concerning what's Crosby doing here, I'm just giving you kind of a basic here so that you can read these and see what the thought process is behind this new model. Page 8 is the old income statement for the governmental funds only. Page 6 was the balance sheet for the governmental funds only. We also have, again, like I said, in the past, we presented balance sheets for governmental and balance sheets for the proprietary funds. So they're separated in two sections. Again, we also have a reconciliation between the income statement and the statement of activities, the new financial statement that's required. So any differences between the old governmental income statement and the new one are listed on this reconciliation. So there's two reconciliations. Four and five. Hope I'm not boring everybody. And then page 11 and 12, they're the proprietary funds. Since they're on the accrual basis, these items will agree with page 4 and 5 with no reconciliation. And we also provide a statement of cash flows. And in the supplemental statements, we provide a breakdown as to how each fund is doing as far as the enterprise funds. So those are further back in the statements, page 25 and 26. And to cover 27 while we're at it, the agency funds are reported separately. They're not included in the body of the financial statements, primarily because it was providing, from what I understand, too much questions as to what these numbers were for. The agency fund that you are showing here in your financial statement refer to the deferred comp program, which technically the district has control over, but technically isn't their money. It's the deferred comp program for the employees of the district.
So that
used to be a line item or a column. On page 6, you would see the agency funds.
So that's we've already paid moved. That out, even though they haven't collected it yet.
Right. That's the separate fund or the account that money's held in.
I just didn't want to be sitting and looking at that much money to come out of our...
And then moving along here, the we've got the footnotes are pretty much the same format as before. I didn't do a lot of changes there. It'll be interesting to see what my peer reviewer says. We just got audited ourselves last year, and we, as a CPA firm that does audits, we have to be audited every 3 years, so it's by another CPA. And then if he finds major problems or any problems, he reports those to the state, And then we have to respond to the state as to why we had a problem there. And if there's too many problems, then they put us out of business. They don't give us a clean peer review. So it's pretty much the same thing that goes on here. So if you feel singled out, we have to get audited too. Which is, it's not a big problem. We've been through it care of. Arnie wanted to get this thing out as quick as possible. So it kind of overlapped my, I tried to get it out before my vacation. And there's still a management letter that's coming. I should have that done by next week. Mm-hmm. So
that's what I'm interested in.
What was the date on that?
What's that?
Well, when was that to be done?
I am going to try to get to that next week. I've got a two-week window to get a lot of this stuff wrapped up, and then audit season starts again.
This management letter that you will provide us, that will have some of the suggestions that you've made about the journal entries being made ahead of time.
That's one of the comments.
All these little suggestions, because we'll forget them in 6 months, and it will be nice that we will receive a letter stating number one, number two, whatever.
Well, the district's
correct?
Been known to be able to get their audit done in August.
Please?
In August. I remember one year you got it done in August for the June 30th year end.
So yeah. Not in the last 8 years.
No, it was under Mitch Cooney, I think.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. I remember that. I think it was his first year. Check it out.
I will.
Okay. So it's possible, but yes, I have. There's about four comments.
But you, but correct me if I'm wrong, though. Don't you? You can't complete it until December when the state comes out with those final figures.
We can complete it as soon as the county comes out with their final figures for the property taxes.
Well, now
and in
what?
That particular year, they came out fairly early. They've been kind of slacking lately, though.
Well, and maybe, you know, I'm just getting old and I can't really remember all these things, but it seemed to me one year we were told, well, we're waiting for something from the state of California. Was it a disc or something before the audit?
Are you referring to the state controller report?
Yes.
The state controller report is typically due October 31st. In the old days, when I first started auditing many moons ago, if you didn't get it in by October 31st, they gave you about 3 weeks leeway, and the end of November they sent out the letters saying you better get it in within 10 days or else we'll fine you. Okay?
This year they sent the fine letter first.
This year they sent the fine letter out fairly late, and like I said, if I get the numbers, I get those things done. If I have to stay up all night, I get them done. And we weren't at that stage with this district, unfortunately.
And that you need from us, do you call us up and say, hey, guys, I need this. And if you don't get it then, would you not then maybe call the president of the board to say, I can't get what I need?
I can do that if you like. In the past, they never fined anybody. I had one district that went out a whole year, never got fined. But I think Arnold Schwarzenegger passed something that said, hey, if there's a fine, we're going to collect it.
Yeah, he wants his money. Yeah.
He wants his money, so.
We would appreciate that. First of all, I would expect that we can comply in a timely manner mm-hmm. and provide you the information that you need to do the audit in a timely fashion. But if there is some problem, I would appreciate a call to let us know that, you know, whatever we can do or provide more resources that may be necessary to get that done.
We'll take it
in
a step
timely
higher.
Finish.
We'll take it a step higher. Mm-hmm. The people were informed. mm-hmm. So we won't name any names. But.
And when now are we will be expecting this letter from you?
The letter? I'm trying to get it done next week. So.
Okay.
I still have one more district that hasn't got their financial statements finalized. So that they should be done by, those guys should be done by tomorrow.
Okay.
So it's
looking forward to receiving.
It's terrible going on vacation because it's nice to be on vacation, but you come back and there's this big pile of. I don't know if I don't want to say anything because I've noticed just by saying that, some people get jealous because they say, well, I didn't get to go on vacation. So,
I think that we know know the names being referred to, but I had hoped this past year that we would have been able to provide a management discussion and analysis, and hopefully,
I think we can do one this year.
Didn't happen. Hopefully, we will be able to do that this year.
I can show you some examples too. Like I said, it's easy enough to go on the internet and find some examples. We were under a crunch to get it done, so we got it done. Primarily, get that state controller report out as soon as possible. So, and who's to say? I mean, they may waive the fine. I mean, that's you can try to do that. So,
I have a question.
Net income or net loss was $36,000. The sewer fund had a basically broke even, and the garbage fund had a $2,500 net income. It's something to look at. Again, that's a management decision as to whether, you know, the rates need to be looked at and where to go on that.
When the water fund lost money, would this be a place to put a footnote? Because basically I think that's because of overrun on the cost of the dam and the water treatment plant being repaired. So that was something that we had no control over.
That's what we look at is not only just if there's a net loss, but we also look at the condition of the balance sheet. And if it becomes perpetual and there's a continual loss, that's something that concerns me, and it should be concerning to the district, because that means that your financial outlook isn't going to look as good in future years. So as far as is there a problem, the one-year deal, like you said, there was some extra items that were on there that caused the expenses to go up. If it continues, yes, it could be a problem. And then at that point, I will mention to management, hey, we've got to think about putting possibly a going concern note in there. Going concern indicates that there could be a financial problem in the future.
Because when somebody from the public maybe is looking at this, they won't stop and think about those additional costs that we have.
Mm-hmm. We can always add footnotes if you'd like, if you want to explain that. Again, the loss isn't that big, so
just a thought.
That's probably where you would put it, but it would be in the the missing page, which is the management analysis.
Okay.
Where the management would say, yes, we had a loss in the water department, but it was extenuating circumstances, it was a one-year event, and we'll continue to monitor this. That would be the management analysis.
Right.
As I remember, I think this started back in 2003. We were we had losses in everything except the trash.
Mm-hmm.
So the
customers are your citizens, and so you have to watch that and make sure it doesn't get critical mass before you take action.
Well, besides, this is 2005, and I believe we put our increase in 2006. So the increase would not have offset. We hadn't raised our water rates for many, many years.
We also have to understand or realize that all we did was pass on the Lopez, the dam retrofit, and the water treatment plant charges to us. We did not raise our rates for the district to any additional dollars coming to the district. So those are just straight pass-through costs that were charged to us. So it would not affect the actual income to the district. And those costs were passed through a month or two after we started getting charged. So that's, you know, where some of those losses may be coming from.
This is not a large loss on a fund this size, but it's one that should stay in the back of your mind for monitoring next year.
If I recall, the increase was based somewhat on projections too, and maybe the validity of the projections needs to be reconsidered every so often as well.
couple of thought processes on that, too. You don't necessarily want to show a big surplus in the enterprise funds every year either, because then there's the group of people that come in and say, hey, you're overcharging us here. What are you doing? Yet we're funding the fire department, and that isn't fair. Or we're funding future infrastructure changes. So you kind of have to, it's kind of a balancing thing. So
the ideal enterprise fund is show small losses until you get to the point where small losses get your eye, and then you fix it, and then you show small losses again. So you keep a reserve, but you want to make sure you keep monitoring it.
Any other questions?
Question for you. This shows up as a draft. When will we get final copies? Because I have other agencies that are waiting for.
I have a final copy right here. I do want to make one change to it, though. I noticed something in the.
Okay, would you send me what?
So we need a motion then to accept?
Yes.
I move that we accept the audit as presented with a couple of changes.
One change, and I can tell you which one that is. It doesn't affect the numbers. On page 19, we show additions and deletions to water facilities, property, plant, and equipment. And that $643,712 deletion is not really a deletion. That was a reclassification between construction and progress and what we capitalize. So if you net that out with the additions, that would be the true addition.
Okay.
So I just saw that tonight. I hate looking at these things because you always find something. But
second.
Hopefully that's it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Do we need a roll call? Or
some money, so you probably should.
All right.
Dahl.
Was Director Dahl?
Thank you. Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for choosing us over that other district. We're a lot prettier.
Anxiously awaiting your letter.
It's coming.
Indeed. Okay, going back to item 8A, utility items. The first is cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines. This is the continuing disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors following the San Simeon earthquake. Is there any comment or questions from the public on this item? Hearing none, I presume there's no comment or questions from the board. And we need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second to continue the disclosure of emergency following the San Simeon earthquake. May we have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 8B is consideration of the general manager's recommendation to adjust current utility billing for property owners experiencing a higher than normal utility billing due to line breakage or leaks. Arnie, do you want to tell us about that one?
As soon as I find the right page in all of these pieces of paper I've got. You have along with copies of receipts for payment for repairs. They're asking for the adjustment and to the 18-month average, and we would recommend the same.
Okay. And that's our usual course of action in these kind of matters.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Is there a public comment on this item? Hearing none, any other comment or discussion? May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 10, report of district representatives. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on the 5th. We approved the budget for the upcoming fiscal year and received a report on a couple of things, the first being the fixed film reactor. The bearing on the fixed film reactor continues to give problems. They've done additional inspections and so forth. They find that there's not really any corrosion on the arms that turn around at the top of the tank there, that the parts would be serviceable for some years to come, save for the bearing. So they're recommending that the bearing be replaced. We also have a second spare arm assembly that can be put in service. So they expect that it would be a short duration maintenance outage to fix that. They expect the district discharge to slightly exceed the permitted values. During that time, they're asking for a waiver such that the district would not incur any fees during that scheduled maintenance outage. This repair would be expected to last 5 years, at which time they would propose to change out the arm with a one that has a bearing that's up that can be accessed during normal operation and changed out effectively in service.
Why are they waiting the 5 year? Why not just get the better one now?
I suggested getting the better one now. They thought that they would be able to have a very short duration outage to fix this in service and operating, but the controls for the chlorine level has been giving them some problems, so they've been working on that. And that was about all that happened in that meeting. Vice President Bookout.
Okay, we had our fire meeting last night, and we got to meet our new fire chief, and it was a good meeting. Our new fire chief brings a lot of experience to Oceano as a fire chief, and thank you. We appreciate that. He, under new business, we talked about some new documents that will be prepared, a student manual, and revising our mission statement for our fire department. The student manual for fire ground incident management, this document that was talked about provides insights as to how first arriving fire officers should develop an emergency scene, and it's a very good extensive manual, and our fire chief has used it in other fire departments and is now bringing it into Oceano for us.
Okay, thank you. Vern?
We had a special meeting for the Oceano Advisory Council to continue to work on the bylaws, and that was basically what we did. We worked on them. We went through different possible changes, and we'll be continuing to work on this. Nothing is final yet. It'll be an item at the next Oceano Advisory Council meeting, from my understanding, and then probably another month before it's actually up to what we're all looking for and be approved. So there may be a few more meetings in between the next regular monthly meeting and the special meeting. There are another few more special meetings between the next monthly and the following monthly meeting. And that's it for that meeting. That's all I have.
Okay, Pamela?
None.
None. Barbara?
I too want to tell everyone how fortunate I feel that we are to have Doug Hamp filling in as our fire chief. We've been extremely lucky with our interim general manager, and I know we're extremely lucky with our interim fire chief, and I know he's going to bring some great leadership to the fire department and to the district, and I want to area, all of us, and everyone got up and welcomed them to our county, and Verdon spoke in behalf of our district, and he did a great job on that, and there was one person who got up and gave public comment from this area. I'm sure you'll see it on television, and then there were a couple people from down south that got up, one place that wants to do away with fireworks, and they brought a basket of stuff they picked up, you know, pieces, and I thought, well, you could pick up that much probably in my front yard just on my street. Then there was another gentleman talking about parking on a pier, but I never did hear what pier he was from, where he was from. And then they went on their field trip. So that was our visit with the Coastal Commission. That's all.
Okay. Board comments or questions?
May I add a little bit to that?
Sure.
Please.
It was a very productive event, I think, for Oceano. It was good that we were there. We were the only district there represented by two directors. Everybody else had one person there. And we, you know, made them aware of the fact that we do the fire protection on the dunes. And, you know, and who our district was. And it was very, very great of Cacho to have put this together and invited us down there to be able to put a face with the different districts and the stuff that they're going to be deciding on. So I'm very happy that it happened, very happy that Cacho put it together, and I think it'll it makes a difference when you're working with different agencies if you have a little bit more of a relationship with them than just a regular business name on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you and Barbara both for attending that. Any comment or questions from the public on the board member reports? Okay, hearing none, brings us to item number 11, which is general manager items for discussion.
Yes, President Hill and members of the board, the one thing that I want to stress in reminding you is that we have some dates set for the budget review, and we need to, at 7 o'clock that night, for what reason I can't remember, but then again, I can't remember a lot of things.
Sand District.
Sand District, that's true. Thank you, Barbara. And at 6 p.m. on Monday the 23rd. Hopefully that will allow us to get to the point where we can adopt the budget on the 25th or any of these nights that you please. And we think we can get through it with not too much problem in that time.
Okay. Comment or questions? Comment or questions from the public? Okay, it brings us to item number 12, board member items for discussion. Vern, anything?
Nothing.
Barbara?
Nothing.
Kelly?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Bill? The only item I have is just observing 4th of July fireworks again. I saw some items that looked like fireworks being discharged by the fireworks stands themselves, which was of some concern to me, and that's I've also had people in the community express some displeasure that we sell fireworks here, so that's something that we might want to look into next year, especially if some of the vendors are permitting fireworks to be discharged close by the fireworks stands themselves or allowing smoking in the area.
Chief, last night the fire committee addressed those with the fire committee also, so mm-hmm. We're cognizant of those issues, and it's not a safe thing to do.
It's that was my concern. Any public comment? Brings us to item number 13, consideration of the warrants. We received the warrants fairly late. Has everybody had a chance to look at it? I have not yet had a chance to look at it.
I haven't really seen them thoroughly. I kind of just glanced over them. I was looking for Alex's name in there and didn't find it yet, so.
Yeah.
I'd like to have mine pulled. I think that there might not, I'm not sure that there's a Board of Supervisors meeting we went to, and I'm not sure that that was on a day that we didn't have something else going on.
Yeah, you don't want to bounce a $500,000.
I don't think so. Not when I signed it anyway.
Is everyone comfortable that you've had enough time to look at it? I have not, so I'm going to abstain from voting on this item.
I'm going to abstain myself.
You're abstaining on the whole thing or just on...
On that item, too.
The whole thing, okay.
Okay.
Then I guess we approve them on Monday?
You can approve them tonight or you can approve them on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Let's just pull them and pull it and do it on Monday since we're meeting right away and just put it on that agenda. And then that gives everybody a chance. Is that going to affect how business is done for you guys at the office?
No, there's only one batch of warrants that have not already gone out of the $600,000, and that's the batch that's dated today.
So
does it matter to you whether they're approved tonight or on Monday in any way? Okay, then that'll
we would rather have you be comfortable.
I would rather consider it Monday, so thank you for that. Let's put that on the agenda also for Monday. Brings us in.
Did that affect staff's payroll or anything?
It doesn't affect staff's payroll. It just affects the directors.
Yeah.
And
we're also wealthy. And the
general manager, but he will be able to eat, so don't worry about it.
Okay, item number 14, public comment. Again, any member of the public can address the board on any item if they so desire. Hearing none, are there any written communications?
No, but please read this weekend's communications.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And with that, then, we're adjourned.